Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into Beyond the Blockchain. Happy to be here with you on another Tuesday night. I'm your host, Scott Tindall, here as always with the Johnny Gwynn. Johnny, it's the first show after 4th of July. Did you have a good 4th of July?
I did. I was in the Big Easy.
Nice.
Yes, we went down to the waterfront right there, the river, I guess, at the quarter. So it was great. Yeah, it wasn't that crowded. And I will tell you, New Orleans is not a 4th of July town because it was not a lot of people there.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Hot.
I think more people are looking for waterfront.
I think. And it was
probably mostly, Lake Pontchartrain, probably a little busier than New Orleans.
Everyone said that there's other things people go to, like Algiers and the Bywater. And so, I mean, you could hear fireworks or gunshots. I have no idea. Yeah. We were home by 10 p.m. that night. So, that would have been Saturday night. Nice. Yeah, it was fun.
That's good.
So, the best fireworks this year.
Okay, tell me about them.
Were robots.
You think so?
Well, according to our, you know, AI news scanner, you looked up at a drone show on the 4th and thought, neat, it's quieter than fireworks.
I saw some pretty sophisticated ones.
Yes, and they're incredibly complicated, like these graphics. Now, this is the big thing, though. If you look at the spreadsheet, Redwood City, it just says Redwood City. I don't know where this is, but it says fireworks usually cost $187,000 in 2024.
Okay.
They did drones this year, and it was $87,500. Less than half, no smoke, no wildfire risk, and no burn ban.
You know, I was thinking this while, so I was down in Josephine, and you see all these fireworks being shot, and you're like, the paper cartridges have to land in all this water.
Yeah.
Or maybe on the land, but I mean, everybody's shooting them from their docks, right? So it's like, all this is going to end up in the, you know, somebody throws a bag of trash off the side of the boat and they're publicly shamed and humiliated, rightfully so.
Yes.
But you want to pop off, you know, $5,000 worth of fireworks in your yard, let it land in the bay. Nobody cares.
Again, the things we overlook for convenience is amazing.
Yeah.
But again, I will imagine us being drones plus fireworks at some point. So
that's right.
And again,
drones,
humans
shooting fireworks.
And these things don't make bald eagles and George Washington's and Statue of Liberty's, these drones in the sky. Humans actually make the design. So this is not Skynet doing this.
Yeah, not yet.
All right. Our second story is the AI will see your blood work now.
All right. I like where this is going.
So blood work comes back, okay, from your doctor. And one is flagged and you've Googled yourself. And
yeah, most people do.
Yeah, you put your, I put my last because I couldn't get information back from my nurse quick enough.
Well, it's like
so before, I dumped it into Grok, you know, and so it's out there.
Right. But before AI even, people were going like, what does it mean if my blood pressure is 100 and whatever over whatever?
So LabCorp, the folks who probably drew your blood, this is interesting, launched my LabCorp, reads your results back in plain English powered by OpenAI and Quest did a Google version, Hims and Hers too. So there's three labs, same bet. So they're all doing the same thing. 41% of people have been surveyed to say they're ready for this. They're past all of this idea of privacy, right? They would rather actually get their information. So they want us. And also it's understandable, which we can understand because of Medicaid AI, a company we said where we try to help patients understand this very complex medical ease. And so they're doing that. So I'm all for it, actually, even though the privacy is still there, but the privacy issues, but I can get why you want your information as soon as you get those lab results.
Well, and not only just getting the information, but your doctor doesn't have a lot of time to spend with you talking through this stuff. I saw this doctor talking about how in the beginning he thought that AI was going to be a problem with his patients, but now they come in more educated.
Yes.
He feels like he can actually get to the point of the conversation
about them
because they've come in educated based on what's going on with them.
Well, we know AI helps because I always do the thing, explain to me like I'm a 10-year-old, you know, and I have to do it all the time, you know, so I like that. All right. Story bite number three. They handed the robot the keys and it robbed the place. So this is a ransomware story, but the person whose name is Jade Puffer. That's
his handle.
His hacker name. He picked the place.
Okay.
He picked the thing to get robbed. Again, it's ransomware, right?
Of course.
And then he let it run, and he just went away from it, and it did it, and it did it all. And so roughly the idea is, and this goes to the legal mind you have, if I just make this thing and it does it on its own, what's my legal ramification of who actually... robbed the business. I mean,
there's going to be quite a bit of litigation surrounding all these things. It'll be interesting to see how laws.
So what I like is it says a new genius hack. It walked through the door, nobody locked. The scary part, it isn't brilliant. It's just that it works 24/7, never sleeps, cost about as much as a streaming subscription to be able to rob people. Well, there you go.
Yeah, good luck. All right, folks, when we come back after, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we'll get into some more exciting AI news on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into Beyond the Blockchain, live with you here on 106.5 FM Talk. I'm Scott Tindall, joined by Johnny Gwynn. We left you with a story about an AI agent basically running ransomware.
Yes.
And while that was a little scary, you know, you can always rely on encrypted data, can't you, Johnny? Probably not.
No.
So you can't rely on the encrypted data anymore. This is the crazy part. We're going to talk about this.
We don't know what someone's going to build in the future
right. That
takes encryption and decrypts it. That is what we're getting to. And it's a line that gets thrown around that I've seen, but I never looked up till this week.
Yeah.
And it's harvest now, decrypt later.
Right. So it's like basically, you know, you may think you're data is encrypted, but they don't need to be able to unencrypt the file. They just need to be able to get the file. That's what you're telling me?
You get the file that's locked.
Uh-huh.
And then when quantum computing can decrypt, then all of that locked knowledge is now unlocked. So the idea is that take it now.
Yeah.
And they open it later.
It's like stealing a safe and knowing I don't have the tools to break open the safe right now. But I'll take it somewhere and eventually I'll be able to open this safe.
Yes, very much. And just so we tell everybody, quantum computing to a degree at this level is still a ways off. This is not, weeks away.
Yeah, it's not weeks away.
I would say it's years away, possibly a decade away, but I've been so shocked at how fast
computers change and grow and increase.
So I can't say when, but it's not right now. Again, it is to decrypt later.
Well, wasn't the that executive order that Trump signed the other day, didn't they say they wanted the first working quantum computer by like 28?
Well, again, it's kind of like a moonshot thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying so we're talking about like, let's say they miss it by a couple of years. We're talking like 3032.
Yeah, so Trump signed an executive order June 22nd this year to get ahead of this, and that means they moved up this initiative up 4 years.
You know what I like that we started to do? I like that we've dropped the 2000 now. We're deep enough into the century. We're just like, back in 22.
The aughts.
Yeah.
Aught six.
Yeah, coming up in 34.
Wow. Yeah, boy, how time just really, again, that feels like a quantum leap.
I don't know why I used the transatlantic accent, but I think that's because what was popular on the radio back in the 20s and 30s.
The transatlantic,
the 1900s.
Okay, let's give a real concrete example of what we're talking about.
Okay, go for it.
A cardiologist patient, the data gets harvested tonight. Okay,
right. So
your cardiologist, your patient data from your cardiologist gets harvested tonight.
Okay,
6 years later, which is called Q Day, by the way. That's what just for saying. Q Day is the day quantum computing becomes reality.
Yeah. All right.
The whole patient's database becomes identity kits, meaning name, date of birth, social security, diagnosis, a stolen medical identity outsells a credit card because you cannot cancel your your social security number, insurance fraud, synthetic loans, blackmail, all from data stolen years before anyone felt a thing.
Well, you know, I wasn't that worried about it until just now.
But I had to give you the real concrete example. Okay, so again, just to disconfirm this, nobody has a machine yet. It's an estimate of when it will be, but the idea is this is a real thing. Harvest now, decrypt later.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of those things. Like somebody said, you know, what are you going to do about it? I can't control what my medical provider does with.
No,
the security of my data. Right, I have to trust that they're going to not get
right, and they're compliant
hacked.
Now.
Right,
but again, nobody can see around the corner, which is five years from now or 3.5 years from now.
I mean, I'm trying to think about things I can control. It's like when you're flying somewhere and someone says, "Have a safe flight," and I'm thinking, I have nothing to do with this. I mean, we may or may not get there,
right?
But I have zero control.
I can sit there and grab that armrest.
Yeah, I can turn it into sawdust.
Until my knuckles are white, which I always love that, a white knuckle flyer. It took me forever to understand what that meant. Someone says, no, you're grasping so hard that your knuckles are white. Again, we don't like a part of this show to be scary AI, but technology, which we will cover in the Beyond segment.
I like this one.
People who go too far with certain things about fear of technology or the misunderstanding of technology. But I guess the idea is, I guess you're right, though. What is the purpose of us warning people for things we really can't do anything about it?
I guess the only thing I think of is, like, if you're somebody that does have data, whether you're a business owner or a medical provider or whatever it is, right? If you're collecting data from someone, being aware that you need to lock down your data, even if you think it's encrypted. You need to have
good, as our
business partner would describe, good cyber intelligence and policies in place.
So are you saying not make it publicly available at all, especially healthcare? Do they have these systems where it's private servers that aren't even the encrypted files aren't accessed by the public?
I don't know. That's a great question. We should have somebody on to talk about
that. But again, we have been told that ethical hackers are taught how to pick locks and understanding things like IT systems, because part of what a black hat hacker does is they do simple breaking and entering, meaning your servers are not available on the internet. Well, I go in as an AC repairman, and then, which sounds like a terrible movie. It sounds like a movie plot, but you go in and you put something on the servers and you just download the servers. And the idea is that's how you get private information anyway.
Yeah.
But again, how patient is that? Well, I guess with memory being so cheap, you can just download like just tons of terabytes. And the idea is like, it cost me like $100 to be able to store it for 10 years.
And the thing is, back to, how this is sold, most of this data is not used by the person that hacked it, right? They're selling off the data to different parts and pieces to the dark web, people overseas who are doing the bad work.
Again, this isn't like crappy Russian hack teams. This is nation state stuff,
right?
Don't you think, like North Korean?
Well, I think right now it is.
Yeah,
but I think with the rise of agentic AI and these agents, like the story before, right, where these agents can just run until they eventually find the exploitation. The thing that stops a lot of hacking from humans is they just don't have the time, energy, effort, and patience to get through it.
Yeah.
But the agent never stops until you're tired of burning the tokens, to make it stop. So that's where, that's where we are right now. But with the quantum systems that are going to come out, this is what blows my mind. When you think about the idea of a quantum computer that could do billions upon billions of calculations at a time across, the reason it's quantum is it's able to do these calculations because it's doing them in different multiverses.
Multidimensional.
It's multidimensional computation.
Which I saw a great graphic representation of it, and it was like a maze. But the maze started at every point in the maze and all worked together to find the answer. Again, that was a reductionary view because it was making my 10-year-old mind understand it.
Yeah.
But I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. You're not one person solving the maze. You're hundreds of people. Or
thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's fascinating. It's like putting together a puzzle, right? Well, let's say we take this little studio that we're in at best we could fit, what, six people around this table working on a puzzle. But imagine we could do this in 1 million multiverses. Now we have 6 million of us putting the puzzle together at the same time.
What blows my mind is there's people actually working on this, and this does sound like a movie plot.
It does sound like a movie plot, but the president doesn't...
By the way, a science fiction movie plot.
Yeah, like the next Manhattan Project is how we should really be thinking about this executive order around quantum computing.
Again, that's the thing that, because my limited knowledge of math... But quantum mechanics has already been talking about this for decades. I just have never really been able to sink my brain into it with understanding they're already doing theoretical work in multiple dimensions and parallel universes. And I just saw that, thought that was crazy talk.
Yeah, Google DeepMind has already proven this on a foundational level.
Foundational level, right.
Right. And so now... this executive order is to build it out and into real life.
And maybe I'm wrong here. I think I said this last week. Is it that someone has created a quantum, let's just call it a calculator. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what else to call it right now. Okay. Something that calculates something at the quantum
That's
level.
Right.
Okay. Have they said they've already found something that can work for a short amount of time, but their problem is they can't keep it cold enough? Is that right?
I don't remember if it was a heat transfer issue.
Yeah.
It was a timing issue.
But my question is filmed, that chip doing what we're saying? It's doing it through multiple dimensions. That's my question.
I don't know that it's interdimensional.
Oh, okay.
Rather than it's multi-universe.
Okay.
So
explain
still,
that.
All right. So still in our dimension.
Okay.
So dimensions, maybe think about it this way. Dimensions go up and down, right?
We're like a skyscraper.
Like a skyscraper.
Okay.
We're in the third dimension in our reality.
Okay.
A flat piece of paper is a dimension below us.
And that's two dimensions.
Two dimensions,
yes.
Right? So the fourth dimension brings in...
I thought it was time.
Yeah, time, space.
Yeah.
And then it keeps going up, right? And there's different theories on how many dimensions there are.
Oh, I get you. It's not...
We're talking dimensions, not universes. Yeah. Well, what quantum computing is talking about is parallel universes within the third dimension.
Oh my gosh!
So like
that's even more like an Avengers movie. Yeah,
right?
I gotcha.
Where it's
yes.
like all these parallel in one universe. You and I are having this conversation in a different universe.
Right.
You know,
we're racing cars.
I had bad Taco Bell for lunch.
Yeah,
and I didn't get to come to the show
again. Which
right.
I always
or
like.
We're racing cars.
The Spider-Mans are so great because one's a pig,
yeah.
like pig Spider-Man, and whoa! Did you watch Noir Spider-Man, by the way?
I did with Nick
really
Cage.
Good.
It was so good.
But again, it was like the Maltese Falcon plus Spider-Man.
You know? It was so good. I watched it twice. I watched
yeah, I
it once
it.
In black and white and once in color.
Yeah, I was supposed to watch it in color with my wonderful wife, Lady Wellborn. So,
yeah.
But she was like, why were you watching it again? I was like, well, I'll watch it again because it's good. Number two, I watched it in black and white. So I'm going to watch it in color.
It was a different experience.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
it. Really
it
really was, yeah.
And I liked the color tone that they used, which is like...
Oh, I know.
It was like whatever...
Like dreamy.
Yeah. It's like whatever that first version, not Technicolor, but like something like that, right? That everything felt very surreal.
Yeah.
But it was, even though I knew the plot the second time, it was like watching two different shows.
Well, again, that is, I think, did you ask me why is it different in color? And I'm like, it just is. It's
yeah,
a different experience.
We were talking about that.
And you know, briefly. A lot of people say high contrast black and white is actually more details than one color. Color kind of confuses your senses because it's overwhelming, where if you look at it in black and white and high contrast, it has actually to do with composition.
Have you ever seen photos of women wearing makeup for black and white movies?
Well,
they wore like greens because it would show up in the black and white.
And they had to do that
color.
For this movie, which I didn't know the Spider-Man people had to shoot the same exact shot with different makeup.
Oh, really?
Because it doesn't read right on film.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's
and I was
exactly
like, oh my gosh, they had to do the same thing over and over again to make it perfect between this version and that version. That seemed expensive to me.
That seems like a Nick Cage idiosyncrasy.
It seems
me.
Like AI couldn't fix that. You'd think they'd say adjust for high contrast black and white.
Yeah.
But again, what do I know? Did you see the next movie at Sphere? Because, you know, AI created the movie to fix the Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Oh, man, I forgot what it was.
Bum, bum, bum.
I'll tell you next week.
What
it was a big deal.
Down.
It's a new movie, and they're going to have to...
Okay.
Oh, it's Rocky Horror Picture Show. But again, they have to change the film,
the format,
because the format doesn't go in that shape. So the AI builds the outside.
What's that guy's name that plays? It's not
Tim Curry.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, he's something Frankenstein. Again,
he's from Transylvania.
Yes, Transylvania. Yeah. So we'll end up real quick on this, though. We'll end up back on the Harvest Decrypt later. They can't read your secrets because they already have them. that and sleep tight tonight, people. Yeah,
that's a good way to send us out. All right, we'll see you on the bottom half of the show on Beyond the Blockchain.
Chain with Scott Tindall.
Hey folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with you on a Tuesday night, 106.5 FM Talk. Scott Tindall, Johnny Gwynn, talking AI, talking robotics, talking your blood work and your data. We've covered a lot of ground today. We always do. This is the third segment here. Coming out of the break, we'd like to talk about kind of what we find interesting, what we're working on right now, or what we find interesting. So I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
I was reading this thing today. We've talked about Fable 5, which is Anthropic's newest model that was banned by the government briefly for 2 weeks or so. They put some guardrails on it, allegedly, back out into the wild again. So somebody took everything about themselves, all the work, anything they could find online, loaded it into a file on Fable and said, psychoanalyze me. First of all, going back to the encryption story, it's like red flags everywhere all of a sudden.
We can clone you.
Yeah, we'll just put it in one file. Yep. I don't even have to go across the entire web to everything.
You've done the harvesting yourself.
Yes. Okay. So first of all, I had a different perspective on this story an hour ago.
Well, it's out there. But why
do I need to do all the hard work for them?
Well, I can see why you do it, because we are so interested in the, like you said, this idea of tell me who I am by what I do.
Yeah.
Is something that we would be sucked into as humans.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's for validation or what, but we are sucked into it.
It's also ego, right? Like,
sure it is. But I will tell you, when you said, would you do this? I have done this because I have changed my direction and career a lot over the last 25 years.
Right.
Not to mention my whole life, which is an additional 30 years. So there's not a lot of that on there because it's pre-internet. But I added all this stuff into this thing called Johnny's Brain, and it was to help me figure out how to redo my resume, how to redo my bios, how to look at the work that I did and the things that I work on and my interest and the things that we talk about on this show.
Yeah.
And so I did do that, and I will tell you, I wasn't feeling super great about my ability to go get what I would say is a real job in the real marketplace.
Sure.
And this was not Fable. This was using Opus.
Yeah.
So the Opus on Claude, Opus mode. And it made me feel better about myself. And it really gave I was on a podcast today with Scott Howell and Bradley Flowers, the Insurance Guys podcast. And he asked me last night, it was a last minute addition to the show, and I went in the studio today, and he goes, oh yeah, send me a bio. And I just went to my Johnny Brain and wrote, I need a good bio quickly for the Insurance Guys podcast. And it whipped out this beautiful 2-paragraph bio. And it, because the harvesting had already been done.
You had already harvested
at Harvard, and it gave me this wonderful bio would have loved to have written, but it was, you know, it's basically me, but written very well.
Yeah, but you did the hard work of putting it together. So.
And made work for 25 years.
Right, yeah.
Don't forget, because I loaded probably 30 different creative projects that I've done. The weird thing is I'm doing it for other people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm making logos for other people.
Right.
So the idea that might get confused to who you are. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like if it read all these different logos, but I don't do a logo I might have a style that I fall into, but that logo was not made for me.
Right.
That logo was made for XYZ company, which had needs to be more of their personality, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm interesting how that works. I guess it does kind of figure that out. Yeah, it does. Because I give it the creative brief.
Yeah. Well, I'd be interested in that with you taking like the logos you have created for yourself, whether it's Container mm-hmm. Yard or Deep Fried Studios or, you know, any of these other things, and just loading just those logos in, just and with very little commentary. I built these logos for businesses I started for myself.
Yeah.
What does that say about
Tell me about myself. I'd say...
it's like a palm reader.
Yes. You know? Oh, right. These are like relics to... Like an archaeologist opening up an Egyptian
exactly.
tomb and like, oh, let me tell you about the life. And it's probably like 8% correct.
Yeah, right. That's why I'm saying it'd be fun.
But
like he was found with a bronze, you know...
Yeah. Well, he kept his cats and his servants with him.
Yeah, right.
So, what a bad job. That would be the servant that has to stay with all eternity with you. So you die and you're still a slave.
That would
really suck.
Cosmic.
That is horrible.
That's not great.
So I will tell you what the logos would say of anything that I did because I'm too cheap to go hire somebody else. It would say he's much better working for someone else than doing logos for himself. The cheap bastard or lazy bastard. But yeah, I didn't do I would say not always did. A lot of times we just needed a logo, and I get why other companies say that too. We just need something to get started. We
just need a business card.
Yeah, exactly. Now I drew it first and then used Ideogram and a couple other AI tools. And I did make a simply elegant, minimal logo for Lady Wellborn this weekend, and I did it between the sketch, the AI, done in less than 90 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It was fantastic. I loved it. I loved it. It helped me out a lot when I did that came from what I wanted to do, but I took a picture of the sketch, put the sketch into what I needed to do, and then Ideogram helped me make it look very professional.
Well, you segued me perfectly.
Oh, okay? Did I?
So you're talking about what you want to do. Last week we debuted your first original song.
Hickeys and Scars.
Hickeys and Scars. All right, Johnny, this is world premiere now. It's not the losing, it's the keeping.
Yes.
Tell us, you know, briefly behind the music here. What's going on in this song?
I was watching a British TV show.
Okay.
And it was about this older lady who had a really jerk of a husband. And the mother was talking to her daughter. And the daughter said something like, I can't believe aren't you scared of like losing him or something like that? And she said, honey, the losing is easy. The keeping is difficult. I just thought that was a cool idea.
That was a good idea.
And so I took the idea. It wasn't so negative. I tried to make it a little positive. So this is my foray into more modern romance AI love songwriting.
Perfect.
3 a.m, both of us pretending to sleep. Streetlight through the window, shadows on the sheets. Thinking about the day I met you on the sand. A man who found a silver coin and held it in his hand. Nobody told me when I found you. Nobody told me what it costs. It's not the losing, it's the keeping, it's hard. Cold Sunday morning, you were on the front porch swing. I brought your old gray sweater, missing since the spring. Didn't say thank you, didn't have to make a sound. Wrap yourself inside it as the leaves came tumbling down. Nobody puts that in the wedding vows. Nobody told me when I found you. Nobody told me what it costs. It's not the losing, it's the keeping that's hard. find a treasure lying in the sand. But silver tarnishes without a steady hand. Year after year, that shine wears thin. I am the only one that's still holding it. That's the hard part, I guess we all forget. Fighting sleep. Your gray sweater on the hook, the only thing I keep. Swore off the whole damn thing, said I'd never look back down. Pockets empty, head up high, never make a sound. But the tide comes in every morning, the seabirds start to sing. See something shining, guess I never learn a thing. Nobody told me when I found you. Nobody told me what it costs. It's not the losing, it's the keeping that's hard.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. Scott Tindall, Johnny Gwynn. We just had the world premiere of It's Not the Losing, It's the Keeping.
Mm-hmm.
And excited for that, Johnny. That's fun. Well, two weeks in a row.
That's the one that my wife said when she heard it. That demo is close enough and almost vanilla enough where it might be a Morgan Wallen hit.
It's almost vanilla enough. What a compliment.
And I was like, thanks. The question mark at the end of it.
Three question marks.
I did like the writing. I need to work again. I'm still working on the band because keeping the AI band together and making it sound the same is very difficult.
Well, we'll see next week.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get another one next week.
Yes.
All right.
I can't promise you because the other two I'm not super in love with. I actually like the two that have been played the last 2 weeks.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Speaking of technology, like we always do, we're going to talk about this idea of a Luddite. We use the term a lot, and we typically use it as somebody that dislikes technology. And maybe we've been misapplying the term. We've been too broad with it, and we need to be narrower in scope. And the reason is, we think that this is going to be a whole new... I'm starting to see it already on social media, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, people who are just AI... antagonize, like they're it's
you and your AI slop.
Yeah,
look, man, I literally have friends that I don't tell I'm using AI to work on songs and the band because they will literally, first of all, they're such jerks about how good they are at their music, they would rip my music apart anyway. But if they heard AI was anywhere
never
involved,
give it a chance.
They might shun me and disconnect me from their life ever.
Disinvited from the group text.
And the thing is, these people that I've also played with would make me where I never wanted to be in a band again. Hence, I want an AI band. So they're part of the problem of making it.
The interpersonal dynamics of a band.
So
are
don't
not
call me a
great
Luddite. It has to go back to the bigger meaning of people are the problem. And that goes back to, I think, this origin of Luddites.
All right. So we're going to talk about the origin of Luddites. Johnny, what is the overarching theme here?
Okay. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine to 1811.
That's not that far.
And it's England.
Oh, in 11.
In England. So machines smashed in the dead of night, not randomly, but precisely, all in the name of one man, General Ned Ludd.
This kind of feels like, what's the V for Vendetta?
Yes, it does, very much. So followers said he drilled an army in the dark. He signed letter, Ned Love's office, Sherwood Forest. Robin Hood. Authorities hunted him, never found him, because there was nobody to find. He was a myth, a phantom conjured from a story from about an apprentice who took a hammer to a knitting frame.
That's perfect.
All right, here's the thing. All right. So these people, now this is true, the okay. Luddites were weavers and people who work with machines that were guild members,
right,
who were protected to a degree because this is before minimum wage and all this yeah. is also England. And what happened was there were certain factories, these Luddites went in the nighttime and they messed up these machines. They took out the cogs, they broke these things, so it shut down the
production. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Luddites get, like we said, rolled into this thing of they hate all technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's the overgeneralization. It wasn't the technology. It was the idea of them, the workers, not getting screwed over. The implementation of it. And so they only picked the factories where the owner was doing unfair things to the workers that had these new machines.
Okay.
The owners that were fair to their workers were not touched.
Okay. So the lesson here is,
yes,
as you're implementing AI tools into your business, do it fairly.
Well, I think it's the idea of, we always talk about the match.
Yeah.
The match paradox. Right.
A match can keep you warm in the winter,
right,
or burn down a forest.
And it can burn down a forest. It has to do with the user. So I think the idea is that it's not machines, it's what certain people do to machines or do with machines. And again, I can already hear the communists now just, you know, falling, no capitalism, you know, I can just hear it now. And it's like,
oh, it's coming.
No, it's bad capitalist or crony capitalist. There's always this idea of, you need to be more Eastern in your thinking of there is equal amount of bad as there equal amount of good. It's how it gets put in the universe.
The Tao.
The true Tao. And that's why they had, we said this before, those little circles in the circle.
Yang.
There's a little bit of evil and good and a little bit of good and evil, which I always thought was kind of cool.
When I was in ninth grade, I definitely had like a puka shell necklace with a yin yang on it.
It had to be a puka shell because you would not be new agey if it was a puka shell. All right. Here is something that is interesting.
Okay.
Because I was trying to get our movie tie-ins.
Yeah, I like it when we do
that. Movies, and it gave us the same movies we always talk about. And I said, well, what about more of like a folk story? And where they had General Ned Ludd in England, America kind of had its version of our blue-collar worker sticking up for the hard-working man.
Against the machine.
And that's John Henry.
The steel-driving man.
And what did he do?
He raced that train.
He raced the train. Was it laying track?
Laying track, yeah.
And the crazy thing is, right, John Henry was actually a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about the whole story because it's kind of, you know.
When I think of John Henry,
it's very much a myth.
In my brain, I can only see the dude that plays the Green Mile.
Oh, yeah. Michael somebody.
Yeah. Michael T. Williams.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Like in my brain, I'm like, that's John Henry for sure.
So what's really disturbing to me of the John Henry, the John Henry tale, when I went and looked at it, was the Luddites attacked based on the actions of other people.
Okay.
Which kind of worked out because in England they ended up making fair wage laws and union laws and all kinds of stuff. So it actually corrected itself, okay?
Okay.
John Henry dies at the end of our story, and all the machine had to do to kill John Henry was to just race it. It wasn't evil. It wasn't anything else. It was just trying to compete. And there is a lesson in that, people.
Well, the lesson is the machine does not get tired.
It doesn't care either.
It doesn't care.
It doesn't care.
No.
It doesn't care of your pain. It doesn't have empathy. It does not have empathy.
Mm-mm.
Yes. So
it's not dehydrated and didn't get enough sleep.
Okay. A man ain't nothing but a man. But before I'd let that steam drill beat me down, I'd die with a hammer in my hand.
That's a good thought.
And that was written 150 years ago. And we're still fighting the machines.
Don't you wonder if this happened during the pyramids? Like they're building the Egyptian pyramids.
The gravity machines.
Yeah. And the people are like, whoa, 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 this is garbage. It used to take millions of us to pull these slabs up. And now you're using acoustic resonance.
Yes.
You know, that's not fair to the rest of us working men.
I do love those AI fake documentary footage of how the pyramids were made. And some of it's like giants and some are UFOs, like picking it up like a tow truck. Uh-huh. So again,
like a crane.
That's why I'm like, someone wasted a million tokens making this video and it was worth every token being burned.
Dude, there was some 4th of July videos. I think I sent you a couple that I was like, I don't know what this cost, but it was worth
every penny.
Yeah. All right, that's a great way for us to wrap up the show. It was a lot of fun this week, and hopefully you'll stick around for next week, and we'll see you then on another episode of Beyond the Blockchain.